Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, race fans. How y'all doing tonight? It's Monday night. It's a special edition of Race Chat Live. Of course, it's Chris and Craig be sitting at the big table this evening talking about the latest hot topics and all your local and national racing news, or what we're able to talk about at least anyway. Without further ado, let's bring on Craig Moore. Craig, how the hell are you?
Hey, am I caller number 11?
Yeah, I think you're caller number 11.
Yes, I won the tickets. I feel better than Alex Bowman winning at Chicagoland yesterday.
Yeah, it's very interesting that we'll start the show out with that, but it was something that I think everybody was caught off guard. But I think after about 24 hours of it, I think I've got it figured out, and I'll be glad to discuss this with you guys. We also have on set with us Mr. CJ Sports. Mr. CJ Sports, how the hell are you? And pay some bills real quick, man. It's been a while.
It is. I'm glad to be here tonight. Interesting race, interesting storm that came through. It kind of stunk because it was slow during the day, and I worked on the weekends and could have really got to watch the race. And then, of course, that monsoon come through, and so it delayed it. I did get to catch the end of it, so I was glad for that. But I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and Fit for Life. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, so I want to thank them. Make sure you guys give us a like on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Plus. Intern Mike will be joining us, to be joining Izzo and myself as we've had some more NBA trades, some good NHL trades going on this weekend, and looking forward to getting everybody caught up going into the 4th of July weekend, and looking forward to being home for the week. So I'm going to turn the mic back over to you guys, let you guys do your thing, and looking forward to another great show.
Hey, one thing about it, no echo, it was a perfect intro. I think we're banging on all cylinders here tonight, and you know, it's crazy. 110 Nation is about a lot of things. Of course, racing has kind of been its number one staple here. But, you know, of course, the intern Mike has joined us. And Izzo, who's been a longtime partner in a Tuesday night show, we've got a cross train somewhere. We have some strong points on both sides of the field. But, guys, if y'all listen to the show tonight, make sure y'all are listening to tomorrow night as well, because Izzo is the man to talk to if you like hockey and all that. That's
and all the things
like that. Yeah.
If you like playing with a big stick, Izzo is your man.
Hey, that's right. That's right. And you know, I mean, the only thing out there that's even close to a contact sport like racing, I believe, is hockey. I mean, football, you know, that's trench work. That's in the ditches. That's war. But when it comes to playing a game or a sport, hockey and racing have a lot in common. So we're gonna have to get Izzo on the racing train and do our best to get me and Craig on the hockey train there, so that we can share thoughts with each other. And it's very, very cool that we have another guy that's come in, and really looking forward to listening tomorrow night to what intern Mike has, because hey. A lot of stuff about sports these days is opinions. We leave the Big J journalism to, you know, NASCAR.com. We leave the Big J journalism to guys like Bob Pockris and Nate Ryan and of course, our favorite weekly, daily TV shows that come on Fox Network and of course, NBC, NBCSN now. And so, you know, we tend to be pretty opinionated in the show, and it was brought to our realization that we don't have but 10 people listening to us. So I mean, it's not like we can really piss anybody off, because obviously if those 10 people have stuck with us throughout the years, they are dedicated, hard-earned listeners, and it doesn't matter what we say, we're not going to run them off. But let me tell you something. you can have 10 fans that love you no matter what, or a million fans that only love you for certain things. Which 10 fans would you rather have? I would rather have the 10 fans that love us no matter what. With that being said, I'll turn it on over to you, Craig. What's going to be the hot topic here tonight?
All right, so I don't know about you, but I'm watching Alex Bowman's infield interview, and I say infield because it wasn't even on the track, because he had mud bogged the car on the infield. And he looked about as excited as a kid seeing a clown for the first time. And I remember that I had said in our message thread, he's going to mess this up. Something's going to happen. I come back in the house with four to go from smoking a cigarette, and I yell, "There's three to go and he's still leading." Dana says, "Don't worry, something will happen." It did. He won the race.
Hey, let me tell you that when he got back around Kyle Larson, when Kyle Larson took the lead, I thought, okay, Mick Donald is finally going to be in victory lane for the first time since, I think, what is it, 1994? They've only had two career wins their whole existence in NASCAR. It was pure determination. Alex Bowman got back around with Kyle Larson, and buddy, I tell you, from there, I knew he had it, man. I mean, I was praying that right rear tire didn't blow out, but I definitely did not have any doubt in Alex Bowman the moment that he made that pass happen, and he beat one of the best in the business to do it. Well, a future Hendrick driver at that, so.
Yeah, we'll let you talk about that in about 15 seconds.
No need for it. No need for it. It would take up the whole show.
Well, I'm getting ready to get in the dead zone. That's why I said 15 seconds. I let you talk. But it was a hell of a race. I mean, the thunderstorm that started out, and I don't understand why NASCAR knew that storm was coming. I don't know why they bothered getting in 11 laps, like CJ said. I would have much rather had seen it start late than do all the festivities, go out there on 11 laps for crying out Christmas, and then sit for 3.5 hours and listen to a bunch of interviews and carrying on. And I don't know, Chris, did you happen to catch Dale Jr. and Steve LeClerc? Did they end up switching ties like I suggested?
No, they didn't. No, they did not. But, is that pushing the question over to me now? Is this that 15 seconds of dead zone that you were talking about? Because obviously what it is, there's hierarchy that NASCAR really thought that DW's vortex theory was right. And so they put the cars out there, they rode them around, and we went green flag racing. But look, I mean, you know, that's what you do. One thing that I will say about that whole weather incident is those people in Chicago and the surrounding area, those people in the Midwest, they know kind of what to be fearful of in those types of situations. And I'm sure that it didn't take a rocket scientist to tell those guys that, hey, this storm fixing to blow in is going to be rough. Because, like I said, most of those guys are from that area, and they're from the Midwest, and they know how quickly things can get pretty rough. So, I'm just thankful that nobody got hurt. And, of course, NASCAR, you know, they did the right thing. They, as soon as lightning showed up in the skies, within 10 miles of the racetrack, they brought the guys in. It was, to me, it was really, you know, testing the theory of whether or not the vortex works. I don't know what NASCAR was thinking, but definitely I'm pretty confident that most of the fans there kind of knew what was up and knew that they may have to take a cautionary, an immediate exit out of the facility. So imagine those people that were in those campers, they didn't feel any more safe in their camper than they would have in the back walls of that speedway there. As a matter of fact, I would feel safer under some grandstands than I would in a one-axle camper anytime in a storm that blows through the Midwest. But, you know, it kind of just set the stage for the night, Craig Moore and Mr. CJ Sports. It set the precedent, I'm sorry, president, look at me, the precedent of the evening. When we cut off to the, when we got red flagged, of course, Jimmy Johnson was the stir of the moment. You know, he seemed to have really had an extra little bit in the car this past weekend and was, you know, was a factor. He was not there at the end, but all the Hendrick cars seemed to be a factor this weekend. And, you know, as much as we bash the Hendrick cars, it's always good when they are running up front, and it's turned into a Penske and Gibbs show. And finally, Hendrick has stepped up and said, not this weekend. And of course, it's anybody's game next weekend at Daytona as we go into the very last, for now at least, the very last Daytona Coca-Cola Zero 400 for a very long time. They're moving this race, and they're pushing it into August. Of course, there's been many a 4th of July celebrated watching this race. I have mixed emotions about that as well, but we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But to finish off talking about Chicagoland and the storms and the resurgence, I wouldn't say resurgence, but the surgence of William Byron and the resurgence of Jimmy Johnson and the type of weekend Hendrick had, that could be a great topic. Of course, where were the Penske cars? And it seemed like they struggled a lot throughout this weekend. And Martin Truex Jr., you know, always has something to say. He believes that the Hendrick rise to fame is going to be very short-lived. And it was just, a minor coincidence that a Hendrick driver actually won the race. But I didn't see the Toyotas around very much. And, of course, Kyle Busch had a rough night, if we can say the least. And Denny Hamlin, talk about a driver that has cooled off. The only other driver I believe that has cooled off worse than him is, of course, Kevin Harvick. That's another story. And the problems at SHR Stuart Haas Racing. But Craig, what else you want to? What else? I mean, I named like 20 topics here, man. When are you going to tune in and say, hey, I want to talk about this one? It might be because he's not there. Am I here? I've been known to talking to a dead phone before.
Well, I was listening when I told you I was going to hit a dead zone, and I did just that. But if you were listening to Harvick's in-car, he made mention of the fact that his crew chief did, that they had Hendrick cars had some serious motor this weekend. Going back to your Martin Truex comment, what would you expect him to do? What would you expect him to say? You're not going to expect him. If it was Dale Jr. behind the 88, he might pat him on the back. But there's no reason for him to pat anybody on the back at Hendrick. They are now rivals. They are competitors.
Okay. I give it to you that he's a champion, and you know somebody's going to put a microphone in front of his face every weekend. Because we all want to know what Martin Truex Jr. has to say.
Well, yeah, because his opinion
is valuable. I'm so over this guy. He's full of himself.
But wouldn't you be if you were a champion?
One up on Kyle Busch?
Well, yeah, when you're up on Kyle Busch, of course you have something to be proud of. But they're now competitors. They're not friends.
So you're telling me the king of the king of the hen house is the rooster of the hen house is now Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch is secondary?
No. What I'm saying is Martin Truex feels that he has earned that right to talk shit.
Oh, I mean, I can see that.
You know, and we experienced that ourselves recently with someone. He's, you know, Martin Truex got a championship to his credit, so he feels that he's earned that right to talk. And every time they put a microphone in front of his mouth, if things aren't going Martin Truex's way, he's going to talk smack about somebody else.
Yeah, and, Lee, it sounds like Mr. CJ Sports has said, it kind of sounds like he's talking about me after two shots of tequila.
Well, you know, Mr. CJ should be talking smack because I've seen that. I've seen his post on Facebook today. I love you. I wanted to puke.
Oh, gosh. I must have missed that, sir.
I thought that was a Kyle Busch, Martin Truex. I thought that was a Kyle Busch, Martin Truex post for a second. No, I think it's cute. Oh. But no, getting back to Martin Truex, I mean, he feels he's got that right, and he's with a top-tier organization, and in his mind, Hendrick Motorsports is not a top-tier organization. Hell, Gibbs and Penske have combined for 15 of 17 wins this season. That's unheard of. And as far as SHR, I fully agree with you. Hey, Tony Stewart better sit down and have a major, major team meeting going into Daytona and figuring out what the hell is the problem at SHR.
Well, let's talk about SHR for a minute here, because I believe what's going to happen in the next couple of years, and here's one of my big opinions, let it be known, this is my opinion, and I'm entitled to it, but I don't think Stewart is as involved in the organization as he once was, and hear me out, he's out there racing sprint cars. He may show up on Sunday, he may show up at the shop on Wednesday or something, but he's out there chasing sprint cars all over this nation. And I think he's got like 93 races scheduled for this year. Unheard of. I mean, where does he have time to be in the shop? And also, by Clint Bowyer's comments, the man who does the hiring and firing around there isn't Stewart. It's Gene Haas. And Gene Haas, who's, you know, gone from prison to NASCAR champion, and I don't know if you guys know this, but, you know, Gene Haas did a little time in the pen for some tax evasion and stuff. You know, he formed his Formula One team. Everybody told him, hey, you're crazy. You're going to have to dump $1 billion into that if you're ever going to be successful. He's not won a race yet in Formula One, but he's had very competitive teams the last couple of years. And so he is the resource manager. He is the one that you go to sign your contracts. Tony Stewart is the face of the Ramp franchise, and I think the one thing that Stewart was able to bring in the beginning when he raced was $25 million a year sponsorships, and I just don't see that anymore. Tony Stewart stepped away from the sport for several years now. It's going to be harder and harder to get these teams to commit, to get these sponsorships to commit to a team just based off of a driver. I don't think you'll ever see a separation once again from Budweiser and Kevin Harvick. I think that's pretty much a done deal. It's going to be Busch beer until Kevin Harvick decides to walk away. I would be very disappointed to see Busch beer leave Harvick, since they've been such long time sponsors. And of course, you know, you go back to the Budweiser days with Dale Jr. And Kevin Harvick is the only guy that's wore that Budweiser or that Anheuser-Busch company the way that Dale Jr. represented it. And so, you know, they tried a couple other drivers. Casey Kane, if I remember correctly, yep. He wasn't a good representation of the company. So, you know, I think that they're a good fit. But as for Eric Amarola, I hope Smithfield Bacon doesn't decide to leave the sport, because if they do, Eric Amarola, you probably don't have a ride. When it comes to, of course, the Daniel Suarez, when the Mafia guy down in Mexico, when he doesn't want to write the checks anymore for you, you're probably going to have to find another ride. And each time that one of these guys falls away, the organization in itself and how it was formed becomes a little bit crinkled, Craig Moore. I'm really concerned about the longevity of the Stuart Haas Racing name, and I just don't feel like it's going to be long-term. Do you have any thoughts on what I've just brought up?
Well, I agree with you. I think that NASCAR is now a pay-to-play type environment. And like you said, once Daniel Suarez's daddy gets tired of writing checks, then that's going to end. I'm not too sure about Smithfield. I think they'll be around for a while, but you obviously could be right there. And again, it's your opinion, so I'm not really going to tell you you're wrong. But I think once Kevin Harvick decides that he's going to hang up the helmet and he's going to spend more time at home with Delana, and I believe they have two children, that Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch will go away. I'm sorry, Anheuser-Busch will go away. I think they're there just for Kevin Harvick because, as you said, he represents their brand. Just like Nationwide, at the end of 2019, Nationwide is stopping their sponsorship of the 88 team.
Yeah.
They're not stopping
their
sponsorship.
The team who since then had 3 second place finishes and a win. I mean, that was bad timing for a marketing strategy.
Right. So I think they're not taking their marketing partnership away from Dale Jr. They're just taking it away from Alex Bowman and that part of Hendrick. They're keeping it with Dale Jr.'s brand, if you will.
Right.
And,
well, back to topic with Stuart Haas.
Okay. I think Stuart Haas is pretty much, as you said about Tony, that is pretty much a done deal. He's raced 93 races. When the hell does he have time to be at the shop?
Right.
He doesn't.
So the influence by name, and that's probably nothing, you know, I mean, that's about as good as you're going to get, kind of the way Magic Johnson ran the Lakers. Mr. CJ Sports, you're here. I know you're listening. I've heard you go, boosh. Mr. CJ Sports, what's your opinion on this deal with Stuart Haas? And do you think that maybe in a couple of years we may see the Stuart kind of fade away in Haas racing?
I mean, it sounds like it's we've also talked about Junior and the possibilities. I mean, who's to say that, you know, we're not seeing the beginning of Stuart going in another direction, and you know they longtime friends. I mean, you never know, but I can see it. I don't think Stuart's ready to just be behind the scenes and be done with racing. And I don't know. I mean, I agree. I'm kind of surprised. You know, at first, you know, he did bring that sponsorship, and you knew that there was a certain presence that was going to be involved when it came to Stuart, and I don't feel that we are getting that same, you know, that same presence, that same Stuart. And so,
right.
I don't know.
It seems like things are going to be different.
Yeah.
Kind of fall off a little bit more. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree. I think that we're going to see this team go in a different direction. I don't think everybody is on the same page, or at least the page that they were all on once upon a time.
Yeah, we go back to the beginning of Haas Racing, and Haas Racing had been around a long time, and Gene had actually had his hands in not just cup racing, but also in IndyCar racing, and had dreamed of the day to get into Formula One. But in this situation, Haas was around for I think since 2004 with his own cup team, and you know, has had drivers like Scott Riggs and Jeff Green that pilot his race cars, and never the you know, when Stuart left Joe Gibbs Racing, You know, obviously he was a hot item at the minute, and you know, that was a controversy with Joe Gibbs going to Toyota, and Tony didn't want to, you know, he had a contract with Chevrolet. You know, it was a contradiction of contract there because he was known as a Chevy driver, and he, you know, with a team that was now driving Toyota. So the whole move over to Haas Racing was all about what Tony Stewart could bring to the table to finally get Gene Haas competitive. And at that point in time, Gene was serving time in prison when Tony Stewart come around. And I believe that it was actually at Tony Stewart's championship win was actually one of the first races that Gene Haas was able to attend there, you know, and that was a couple of years after the merger of Stewart and Haas Racing, which created Stewart Haas Racing. So, you know, I mean, we've seen a time where it wasn't, and now, you know, things look. If I'm reminded of any other environment where things just seems kind of volatile, I go back to the year that Roush Racing had four Cup teams, and all of them sponsorship contracts were at the end of the year, and all the driver contracts were up at the end of the year. It's just, you know, it's how quickly we could see a major organization like that fade away is almost frightening. Speaking of, you know, a lot of rumors going around about CDR or a major Cup team that's going to close the shutter its doors at the end of the year. It's definitely a very sticky situation right now in the Cup Series, but to my surprise, guys, there's 42 cars on the entry list for the Xfinity race. And are we seeing a slight emergence of teams once again into the Truck Series and into the Xfinity Series, guys? I'll start with you, Mr. CJ Sports, and then we'll bring Craig back on.
I mean, it's good to see. You know, we've talked about this over the last couple of years where – because of these different programs, the drive for diversity and the better broadcasting of the K&N series and the names that we're seeing and the ARCA series and the full contracts, where we're getting an opportunity to see more of this talent. And so where we're starting to see the truck series and the Xfinity series to become we're not needing the Cup guys so much, and that's one of the good things about them reducing the number, because we're seeing and get an opportunity to meet and watch more of these drivers that we weren't getting to, and so this is a good thing. I like the fact that we're getting a full field. We're getting a field full of talented drivers, not just starting parts, not just Cup guys. This is what NASCAR needs. NASCAR needs to have their farm system full of these young, talented drivers to know that we're not going to hit that time like we did once upon a time where we didn't have that many. I think it was from like 2007 to 2012 or whatever, that none of the Rookie of the Year drivers in the Cup Series even ran anymore. Like it was. There wasn't a lot of talent that came out. And then
Kevin Conway is even light years. And I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So this is a great thing. This is what NASCAR needs. Now, if we can just figure out not to have the weekends like we did the previous weekend, that road course snoozer that we watched, all of NASCAR can figure out how to continue to putting product, and it's not that they're not trying to, you know, I chop that up. It was a bad week that week. As long as NASCAR can continue to put the product on there, this is a great thing for NASCAR, and it looks bright for the future. You know, getting to see, you know, the Christopher Bells and all these other young drivers, the Noah Gregsons and that are in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series, this is great. As long as it continues all to come together, you know, this was a great thing that it opened up, and we got to see all these different programs. And, you know, I've been applauding NASCAR. So we've had a lot of those drivers on throughout the last handful of years that were part of these programs. And, you know, to me, it was an important thing. It was an opportunity for the sport to continue to grow. And when we watched ARCA series go to being televised, you know, for the complete season, And now, you know, you guys were just talking about last week with Haley Deegan. And, you know, that they talked about her a lot in her podcast over, you know, this yesterday, Chicagoland. Like, this is what NASCAR needed. They needed their farm system to be full of drivers and talented drivers. And they finally have gotten it. Now, as long as they can capitalize on it and find a way to maximize, NASCAR is, at least driver-wise and talent-wise, throughout the three top series, they're hitting on all cylinders now, just to get to all come together.
Craig, you want to repeat the question? I kind of I was listening.
Yeah,
to
well, we've got 42 cars on the entry list for Daytona this coming up weekend. We've obviously seen full field of Xfinity cars and the truck series. With teams that we're not necessarily used to seeing. As Mr. CJ Sports pointed out, it has a lot to do with the fact that these young kids are finally getting a chance to make a name for themselves, where the Xfinity Series has been known to, or has branded the name where names are made, but yet for years it's been flooded with Kyle Busch's and other Cup drivers who come in and snatch spurs, Brad Keselowski, Carl Edwards, you know, you name all the names that have come in and robbed the purses and robbed the younger series. So now, you know, you're 42 cars. The biggest Cup experience guy that's racing this upcoming weekend, the Xfinity Series, is going to be A.J. Allmendinger, who's not going to pull for A.J., you know. So what's your take on the larger fields and going to Daytona with 42 cars in a field that I believe in the Xfinity Series, they don't start with 38 cars.
Right, so 38, 39, and four of them are going to go home, which is sad. I say let them all run. That's me, though. If they were able to put a car together, put a team together, it's let them run. But I think it's great, and CJ hit on it. We don't have, and so did you, we don't have the field being dominated by the Bushes and by Kurt and Kyle and Carl. These guys are starting to stand on their own two feet. It may not look like it attendance-wise, but driver-wise, these guys are staying, they're standing on their own. So I think it's great for NASCAR. I think it's great for the sport in general. And I think it's great for these drivers to prove that they have what it takes to field a team. Like I said earlier, a couple seconds ago, there's 42 drivers. I would create a.
What do you have an issue there? You're breaking up, Craig.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. It might have been because my phone was, yeah. Let them drive. I mean, like I said, you got 42 cars in the field. I know it might be a little bit of a cluster for NASCAR, planning-wise, pit road-wise, parking-wise, maybe in the garage area, but they were able to do it before with 40 cars. If you can't do 42, do 40. Let these guys compete. If they've put together a team, well, let them compete. That's what I say.
It'll be good for the sport.
Have
50 cars showing up for Daytona, and that
would be great for the sport. I'm saying 40-42 after that, because we had 50 cars that used to show up for Daytona anyway in February, and we'd send eight of them home.
Yeah, but
so,
I'm okay with sending cars home. Some cars don't have to qualify for the main event. I'm glad that team owners feel confident enough to bring that extra car to make the car count what it is. And of course, somebody will go home. Now, I've got a question for you guys real quick because I don't know the answer to it. Are certain guys locked into the field automatically in the Xfinity Series? Or is it if you don't qualify, what if one of these guys that won a race, what if they hit the wall in qualifying and they don't qualify? Are they a chance of maybe not not being able to race the race? Does anybody know the answer to that? Because I know in the Cup Series that can't happen because they're locked in through the charters or whatever. The top 36s are automatically locked in regardless. But there is no charter system in the Xfinity Series, so it leaves me to wonder if one of these teams like Justin Allgaier, or maybe even a team that's already got a win, you know, Christopher Bell. What if he hits the wall and then all of a sudden, you know, he's not able to participate in the race? How that goes about? So it'll be something we have to look into and see how that plays out. But as for qualifying all the cars, that sounds great and dandy. But I also like to see those couple of guys that just barely couldn't make it. I think it adds variety to the sport. And, I'm super excited about the Xfinity Series and where it's going. And obviously in the Truck Series right now, we've got names like Ross Chastain and Grant Enfinger. They're making names for themselves, guys. They're making names for themselves in this series. Unlike, you know, a renter ride like William Byron, unlike, some of the other guys that have gone through quickly through the ranks and up into a Cup car. These guys are actually putting forth the effort week in, week out, and it's awesome to see. It's awesome to have a sport that represents the actual brand that they carry, a place where drivers can make a name for themselves.
All right, so let's see how I want to phrase this next question, because I totally lost my train of thought. At my age, I'm sure CJ understands. So what should the Xfinity Series do?
Such a funny guy.
CJ, what do you think? They got 41, 42 cars. Who do you say? I mean, you know, aren't we in the age of a participation trophy type mentality?
No, we're not.
You're welcome.
I have no problem. But I'm also different. I'm the type that even the Cup Series, I'm not big on the charter system or there being, I think the old day was the first, the top 36 points were automatically locked in, and your previous winners or champion was locked in, and you really only had to worry about two or three people that, you know, had to work their way in. I'm not big on that. I want to see the best of the best. So I don't care if Kyle Busch is out there and wrecks it and qualifying. If he's not the best of the 40 cars that qualified, he's the 41st, then you don't race. That's just the way I am. Like, I want the best of the best. I don't care what happens. It's a whoopsie, whatever the case may be. So I'm a little bit different. I agree with Chris. I don't have a problem as much as, yes, especially in this younger, the lower series, Xfinity and Truck, it, you know, you're kind of all in to make these races and you're trying to make your name, and it's a little bit different in the Cup Series. But I don't feel that also excuses because of the situation, because if you're preparing yourself for the Cup Series or wanting to be in the Cup Series, that is like to me in football. Like, I don't understand why college football has different rules than in the NFL. Like, why do you train these guys to only got to have 1 foot in when it's 2 feet in? Why is it if you touch the ground without being touched, you're down in college, but you're not in the NFL? Like, to me, that's just stupid. And so, to me, there's, you know, the same thing with the Xfinity Series. You're preparing it to be in the Cup Series, so I don't want it to be different. And so I'm that type though that I want the best out there. I don't care if that means Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, and Jimmy Johnson go home for the weekend because they want the fastest of the 40 to be out there. That it is what it is, and I know that sponsorship and everything else is why this all happens. I'm not a fan of it. I want the best out there. So yes, it kind of sucks. You've got 42 guys and only 38 going to be able to participate. But I want the best 38 out there. I want the best product that could possibly be on that track, regardless of who gets sent home, and that's just how I feel about it.
All right, guys, I'm just doing a little bit of research on that question about the rules as far as past champions and things like that? Is there a past champions rule or points rule or something like that for Xfinity? Because now I'm curious. So, I don't know. I sent the thing out for I'm going to switch gears real quick and get your thoughts on this. I know, Chris, you saw it. I don't know if, CJ, you saw it. The post I sent out about the driver here that from Schaefer Racing, Team 1H Racing, that flipped his car at Fonda on Saturday night, and his little press release that he did. Chris, I know you've seen it. That is a hell of a wreck. As he said in his release, that that car is toast. But I want to get your thoughts on that, Chris. I mean, that just goes to show you what the safety equipment is nowadays, because if that was 10, 15 years ago, he probably wouldn't have walked away.
Well, first of all, there wasn't anything left of the car, and kudos to the chassis builder, to the driver, making sure that he has all the proper safety equipment needed to you know, walk away from a crash like that. And it's also a blessing from the man upstairs that these drivers, you know, I remind people all the time, there's a reason why we pray before these races, and whether or not anybody, you know, wants to agree with me, you know, I think that, you know, the Lord has put his hand down and protected these drivers. I'm not saying that he didn't protect the ones that have been hurt. I'm not saying that, you know, that you know, nobody's been killed doing this, but at the same time, that I feel like there is an extra presence of considering how much danger we flirt with week in, week out at these local tracks. You know, I've personally seen chassis that have been rusted out and bars that were, you know, not even connected and ill-placed equipment, lack of safety equipment. I'm reminded of a young 13, 14-year-old kid that showed up to the racetrack and a big body. He had a, you know, an old style racing seat in it, and you just, you know, your mind automatically goes to, what are y'all thinking, right? I mean, yeah, it's a big body car, but this racing seat doesn't even have a cushion, and it has nothing in it in between your back and the middle of the seat. And you know, now we realize the dangers of the sport, and a testament to those that were you know, involved in building that car. Of course, the driver for making sure that he had all the proper safety equipment. This just shows how safe the sport can be in a volatile situation, Craig.
Absolutely, and I did not. I'm still looking for that as it pertains to the championships and past champions, provisionals, and things like that in the Xfinity. And in order to get to the actual rule book, you've got to have a username and password, which I think kind of sucks, but. I guess they don't want us to see it. So now, Chris, you were saying earlier that you believe that CGR is going to shut its doors here soon, and Kyle Larson is going to go where?
Well, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, we waited. There's no way Shannon Bolin has sat around this long for me to discuss this subject now, so I don't really know what the point is.
There's a point. He'll be listening, I'm sure.
I mean, look, you know, I've said for 2 years that I believe that Larson's going to wind up in Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, you know, people want to take hack at that. Well, look, I don't see you going out there making any bold predictions. I don't see, you know, I mean, I just feel like that's probably where Kyle Larson's going to land. I catch a lot of flack for that, and you know what? The one thing that has stood true is I remind you guys all the time that that's what I feel like. And sure, there is a 1 in 100 chance that it'll ever happen. But, you know, there again, we're probably closer to it happening than we've ever been. And, you know, Mr. CJ Sports has always been a firm believer that, you know, that Kyle Larson was going to stay at CGR because of loyalty and this and the other. And I feel like, if you're going to race for championships, then probably the best place to be right now is either a Joe Gibbs, a Penske, or a Hendrick. And obviously there's no open seats at Penske. There's obviously no open seats. Well, there's actually an open seat at Penske if you were to bring a fourth car in. There's definitely no seats open over at JGR. And as of today, there's no seats open at Hendrick Motorsports either. But this hasn't stopped Hendrick before. Remember, he put Casey Kane into a Red Bull car, Toyota, for a whole season before he ever even brought him over to Hendrick Motorsports because he didn't have room for him. So, you know, it's not the first time. And then what did he do? Hendrick paid a whole year's contract to Casey Kane to drive for Bob Levine over at, you know, LFR. Did I say that right? Levine Family. Yeah, Levine Family Race, LFR. So, you know, it's not unheard of that Hendrick pulls strings to make things happen. You know, obviously it's been a lot of rumors that CGR is having a hard time paying their bills. We heard this for a long time about Richard Petty Motorsports. It's obviously the rumor is real. Like, right. We've heard for the last year, the public announcement acknowledgments that Richard Petty Motorsports is in trouble. They need more sponsorship. They need another source of money to be brought in to help this organization catapult itself. We're not seeing Chip Ganassi racing for championships year in, year out. So, I mean, anybody that doesn't believe that CGR is a second-tier organization, you've got to be out of your mind. They're not a top-tier organization. CGR may be $10 million shy of having what Penske and Joe Gibbs Racing have. But let me tell you something. In racing, $10 million is a lot of damn money, and it most of the time separates the losers from the winners.
Oh, well, I can't disagree with you. I fully agree with you. I think that Larson's going to go somewhere where he's able to win a championship, and as you said, Hendrick Motorsports is it. Now, whether that be in a junior motorsports,
exactly,
farm system car,
uh-huh,
that is a possibility. If that's an alliance, that's a possibility. And I know we don't have but 10 or 11 people listening every week, but that is a definite possibility. Go ahead.
I mean, can we even share a link for a show?
That,
I mean, really, who do we do this show for? I guess we do it just so we can hear each other talk, but that's it. You hit on a right point. I finally feel like my colleagues, and I said colleagues, guys. I mean, I'm not the teacher at all this. I'm just like you. I finally feel like you guys are starting to see the light, that Kyle Larson is probably going to wind up somewhere else. And I know that Mr. CJ Sports, I think you've got a strong opinion on this. Please chime in.
Well, my opinion has always been as long, but it's only as long as Chip Ganassi put competitive cars, which once upon a time, the cars were competitive. Now, as of late, not been so competitive. But my question and comment was going to be, what about junior motorsports? Because that has been my thing, that I felt by 2020 he was going to have a cup car, and it's been, you know, something that has been more and more of a conversation. You're talking about alliances and everything else. Does junior motorsports have a driver lined up? Do we know of? Because you're talking about Hendrick and really not being room at this point, but we know that if Junior makes this move, it's probably going to be an alliance with Hendrick Motorsports with his relationship. So is that a possibility that we find Larson? Because, you know, I can get on board with Larson. My whole thing was loyalty, unless it was no longer competitive. We're getting to the point that I feel that Chip Ganassi is no longer competitive. It's not holding up to what he needs to hold up to keep Larson there. So is there any reason to believe that there would not be a ride open for Larson if Junior Motorsports makes that move and aligns himself with Hendrick Motorsports?
Well, he wouldn't align himself with anybody else, so have to be Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah, those Hendrick shout-outs were for a reason, but please, go ahead, Craig.
What's that?
Those Hendrick shout-outs that he made yesterday were for
absolutely
a reason.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know what?
But you know what
when
I'm saying.
When you said that, I was obviously watching it live. I rewound it to listen to it. And I was like, well, by damn, he did say that. And then he did say about the Hendrick engines. But that was, I believe that was foreshadowing quite a bit.
That was reaching. Okay. I get it. But, you know, guys, I think I said this last week that I feel like Junior would not field a car for Kyle Larson. What he would field a car for is possibly your seven-time champion, Jimmy Johnson. I mean, what better way to start out a race team than to have a seven-time champion at the helm of your racing organization? You know, I don't believe that Junior wants to come in full force at first. He learned from his daddy, and that means taking it one car at a time. Steve Park was in the series 3 years before he become become a multi-car organization, and I feel like that the whole Junior Motorsports has been nothing but the playbook that was used by the father, Dale Earnhardt. And so I don't see Junior Motorsports jumping in and creating a 3 or 4 car super team. I see that they come in and, you know, they have enough sponsorships to pay the bills and, you know, start out with something small, but a high profile driver like Jimmy Johnson, who, you know, you're going to be at least competitive week in, week out, and you're not having to go through growing pains with a rookie driver. But now, as for Kyle Larson, that would put him out of an available seat over at Hendrick Motorsports if Jimmy Johnson were not in the picture. Because obviously, I feel like Alex Bowman earned at least his second season, third. You know, not second season. His you know, he's been with them since 2016, but his third full time season for next year. He inked that this past weekend. He proved that he was dominant. He said he wasn't going to finish second again, and he didn't, by golly. But, you know, to think that Junior would have the power to lure Kyle Larson over, the only thing I keep thinking about, guys, and for some reason, I don't know why, but this McDonald's image, this M on the front of the car keeps showing up, and I'm thinking Kyle Larson to Hendrick Motorsports, McDonald's, or Kyle Larson to Junior Motorsports, McDonald's. And then I come into a railroad. The fact of it is Hendrick has Pepsi as their team sponsor. Coca-Cola used to be the face. You know, the face of Coca-Cola used to be who? Come on, guys. Snap with it. Who used to be the face of Coca-Cola in NASCAR? Who drove the damn polar bear car? Oh, my gosh. Dale Earnhardt, guys. Dale Earnhardt. Oh, so, you know, maybe there would be a conflict of interest if Junior was a satellite team, but I don't know. Maybe Junior could pull it off and leave Mountain Dew and bring in Coca-Cola, you know, a sponsor that his daddy was, you know, hooked up with for years. And McDonald's and Coca-Cola work hand in hand together, guys. And I know that y'all have to see this and you know, Monster Energy and Coca-Cola are together as well. So CGR is being funded right now by a lot of Coca-Cola teams. And so, you know, the driver leaves. A lot of times that sponsor floats right there with them. It would be very interesting to see if Kyle Larson were to be at Junior Motorsports in a cup team, if they couldn't pull off bringing McDonald's and Coca-Cola over with them.
No, that is a definite interesting synopsis. And, you very well could be right. What I'm interested to see is how quickly is this all going to play out? When will we hear CGR finally say, you know what, I've had enough? When will we hear McDonald's say, you know what, you guys aren't competitive as much as I'd like you to be, or as much as we need you to be for our return on our investment? Because, you know, if a team is successful, their sponsors generally don't mind spending money. As long as Jimmy Johnson was successful, Lowe's didn't mind writing checks.
Right.
As soon as
when
Jimmy Johnson...
To, When you're talking about big brands, Craig, you got five of them. And McDonald's is one of the biggest brands in the world. Coca-Cola is one of the biggest brands in the world. And then, of course, you know, fill out the rest of the three on your own. I mean, you know, and Budweiser, that's been one of Dale Jr.'s sponsors. So, you know, this is a brand made to happen. And it's crazy that we fell on that just then. I mean, I've never thought about what a reunion would look like with Coca-Cola coming back to the house of Earnhardt. And or the house that Earnhardt built, I should say, because isn't Junior Motorsports? Can't we all agree Junior Motorsports is the house that Earnhardt built?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what would be? And I don't know if it, I'm not 100% sold on it that it would happen, but wouldn't it be something if next year, and I don't know how long Jeffrey's contract is, but wouldn't it be something if Uncle Dale was assigned Jeffrey to drive for him in the Xfinity Series with the eventual thought of moving him up to the Cup team? Again, that's only speculation.
It would be great, but you know, you don't treat the redheaded stepchild. You don't give the redheaded stepchild anything. And I think that that's part of the Jeffrey Earnhardt mystique right now, is the fact of it is we know he's not the most famous Earnhardt in the building, and he probably never will be. And I think that that kind of rubs him the same way that Dale Earnhardt felt rubbed when he knew that he wasn't an Allison or he wasn't a Waltrip. You know, he had to scrap his way for certain things, and he made the Earnhardt name what it is today. And Jeffrey, I think in the beginning, Jeffrey would have loved to have had everything handed to him on a silver platter. I think that was kind of expectation for his career. But then it's gone the other way. And let me tell you something. You're talking about a guy who has become very, very marketable. This Extreme Concepts, they have put Jeffrey single-handedly on a whole nother level. And I've got a lot of questions about Extreme Concepts and the IK9 Foundation. And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, how all this money has been able to be put into, you know, Jeffrey Earnhardt's career. Of course, we watched Extreme Concept make an Xfinity debut this past weekend in the Xfinity Series, and they had a pretty decent run. Earnhardt ran well all day. So, back to the point of Earnhardt driving for Junior Motorsports, I just don't see that, guys. I honestly feel like Toyota is really fully invested into making Earnhardt a damn good driver and putting them into a Toyota. I mean, what better way to slap the face of Chevrolet than to have their driver have the hair of an Earnhardt in a competitive ride with a Toyota symbol on it?
No, I never thought of it that way. See, that's why we have you here. I think of the straight and narrow stuff. You think of the stuff that's way out in left field.
I mean, I do question whether or not the Earth is as round as what they say it is, because technically, if you sucked all the water out of the world, it would look a lot different than it does from say, a periscope sitting on the moon. I mean, you know, we are surrounded by deep craters of water. I mean, everybody knows that the depths of the ocean go further down than we could ever imagine, further down than they ever go up. So if you technically drained all the water out of the Earth, we might not be anything more than a floating asteroid that's in the shape of a teardrop. I mean, honestly, I don't know. But I take appreciation into somebody who respects the fact that sometimes I was told that you were supposed to question everything, and so sometimes I do.
Well, all right, so let's talk about Mr. Freeze, shall we, if we're going to question everything? He comes home Wednesday night. He wins the Bret Hearn Big Show over at Albany Saratoga Speedway. He shows up Friday night. He finished third. He comes to Fonda Saturday night. He loses
by one slot with three to go. He lost to the Flying Squirrel. You might get a kick out of that name, Mr. Rocky Warner. And then what do they need to do at Helmar Freeze and Racing to make Mr. Freeze more competitive than he already is in the truck series and deliver him that green and white checkered flag?
You got to earn it, and you got to save something for the end. I think just like Alex Bowman, Stuart Friesen has yet to figure out how to close these big races. There's not much difference in driving style between his dirt racing and his truck racing, and I give it to him. But, you know, this is the sport where the best of the best will get you every weekend in finesse. And so Stuart's got to make sure that he has something that he can compete with at the end. I think we've seen him tear up quite a few trucks. I think we've seen him close to winning. And, you know, this past weekend, Brett Moffitt. I think Brett Moffitt had something to prove this weekend, Craig Moore. I don't think that Stuart had anything that he was lacking. I think that Brett Moffitt just had something to prove. Look, they gave him an encumbered win. You might as well put a big cucumber on top of his hood. He had a white race truck, no sponsorship. And GMS was over here with their name on the side of Ross Chastain's truck. Okay? So you've got a solid white, black-lettered number 24 truck for a champion of the sport. And then all of a sudden GMS throws their name on the side of Ross Chastain, who didn't have any sponsorship. He felt like the black sheep of the family. He went out there and busted ass and took home a checkered flag. Friesen's got to learn how to close. And we're going to see a celebration in Victory Lane very soon, I hope, from a guy who's had to earn it. Just like Alex Bowman, as I said before, he's got to figure out how to close it. We watched Ross Chastain. He had to figure out how to close it. You got to want to win more than the other person. But you also have to take care of that equipment, because I'm going to tell you right now, Alex Bowman was one cut tire away from hitting the wall with four laps to go, okay? One cut tire away. That little bit of shimmy that he did up there with Kyle Larson could have cost both of them a race, okay? And we've seen that too many times with Stuart Friesen. He takes a lot of, you know, he's very aggressive. He takes a lot of chances out there, and it helps him for the most part. But I think if he can put together a complete race, And it be his night. I mean, like I said, I don't think Stuart Friesen did anything wrong this past weekend. I think that was Brett Moffitt. I think that was all Brett Moffitt. He had a chip on his shoulder. He said, I'm going to win. I'm going to show these guys that I'm going to earn my way into this playoff, and I'm going to earn my way in this playoff with a black and white truck with no sponsorship on the side of it. I'm going to give it my all, and I'm going to be the guy. And he was. And No disrespect to Stuart Friesen. We watch him race, and you brought up an interesting point. Do you believe, and I think you do, I think you believe that all of his racing hinders his performance in the truck series. And I've never heard you really be critical of Stuart Friesen, and we're not trying to be critical of him here. But is that how you feel, that maybe it kind of hinders him and his ability, that maybe the closing method? Or what is your theory on Friesen racing all these races in the dirt races and then jumping over into the truck? Because honestly, I feel like the truck thing is just something for fun, and his profession is racing dirt cars.
And you know what? You're right. I am a little bit critical, but I look at it like this. He's got sponsors to make happy in the truck series. Now, he's got sponsors to make happy in the modified dirt series as well, but you've made a commitment to the truck teams, to the truck series. I think that when you race like that, and that could be Larson's problem, that could be Larson's issue, that he races so much dirt that it takes away from his cup car. Same thing with Stewie. Now, I love Stewie to death. He's a hell of a nice guy. Him and his family are tremendous folks. But I think that it's going to come a point to where they're going to have to figure out, listen, what do I need to do here? Which series means the most to me? And I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's going to be the dirt.
I feel like he's going to choose dirt over the trucks anytime because, you know, unfortunately, there's not been a big name sponsor to be thrown on the side of that truck. As a matter of fact, this weekend he honored the Orange County Fairgrounds Speedway 100-year anniversary for the $100,000 to win. But there's not been, you know, other than a little bit of Chevrolet manufacturing support, there's not been anything really big that's happened for Stewart. But he's made a name for himself, and he's got a lot of fans, and I think that those fans will carry back over to his dirt track racing. But to be honest with you, I mean, living a dream, hopefully he stands it out, Craig. Hopefully he continues to do what he does, because just like we were talking about with the extra Xfinity guys and the most cup experience in this race is A.J. Allmendinger, so there's no cup guys that are going to be running the Daytona Xfinity race. We've seen a change in the way that NASCAR is doing things, and it used to be that a driver that wanted to race, he had plenty of races that he could attend on the NASCAR level. We've taken that away from some of these guys. We've taken it away from Kyle Busch and Larson and other guys that would compete in the other series on sometimes a full-time basis, similar to the way Carl Edwards and Kyle Busch did. The changing of the guard, the changing of the rules, these guys have got to go find somewhere else to race. So, you know, I mean, we knocked Carl Edwards for racing all those races, but the dude loved to race. And so we didn't say, well, could that have his mind off of winning a cup championship? No, he was actually making laps so that he was faster on Sunday is what most of us thought. But now that they're having a race at a different entity, at a different type series, something non-NASCAR sanctioned altogether, I think that we're kind of boggled by that question of whether or not that can impede on the quality of racing that or the amount of time that they can give to actually be in that truck. Because look, guys, if Stuart Friesen was in the shop at Halmar Friesen all week long with his crew chief, we may not have had this many mistakes already leading up into races. If the crew chief only sees his driver on race day when he hops in and puts the seatbelt on, that it takes a lot longer to build a relationship, and sometimes, you know, that relationship isn't very good, or it's very futile. Isn't that the right word?
Futile.
Yeah, futile. Okay. So I need a vocabulary in front of me, but who cares, right? There's not but 10 people listening. Mr. C Day Sports, you want to chime in on this?
He's probably sleeping. I'm here. No, I'm here. I try to mute myself in between so I don't cause any echoes. I don't know why. I know that any seat time is always good and helps the drivers, and, you know, throughout the drivers that we've had on the show, they talk about that. But I'm also I feel when you get too stretched out, you start to lose the focus, the main picture, the big picture. That's what I like about Kyle Busch not being able to run no more races anywhere else. Now the focus is strictly on the Cup and what he's got to do to bring a championship home. With Stewart, you start to, and I feel Kyle Larson. He's another one. I feel that, yes, you get the freedom to do what you want, and we, you know, I know he went dirt racing over this weekend, and I'm not going to say one had to do with the other and him finishing second, but, you know, there's some weeks you question, did you get too wrapped up and stretch yourself too much on what you had going on outside of what is supposed to be your main focus, what you're supposed to be running a championship for? I think that it might be in Stuart Friesen's best interest to maybe reel it in, decide what your main focus wants to be, where you feel that you're going to have the most success, what's going to bring you the best sponsors, not just, you know, not just throwing any sponsor on the side of the car, but what's going to bring you the best sponsor to give you the best equipment and the most opportunities. And go in that direction versus, you know, trying to do too much at once or too much period and not be focused on what needs to be focused on.
First of all, if I had the frequent flyer miles that Stuart Friesen has accumulated over the last 3 years, 2 years for sure, I would probably only need half the amount of money I need to take my kids to Disney World, because that's exactly where we would go if I could just use just a few of his air mile points. And second point is that, of course, you know, Stuart Friesen has been a guest on our show, and so we want to make sure that we're giving him the utmost respect. But, you know, it comes a point in time where you're having to scratch your head, like, why hasn't Junior Motorsports called and put Stuart Friesen into an Xfinity car, right? That number 8 car seems to have a different driver in it every weekend, and if people in the garage really felt like Stuart Friesen was moving in the right direction, then why aren't those offers being given to him? And I'm going to tell you right now, I believe Stuart Friesen deserves a shot at being in an Xfinity car. I think he deserves a chance to maybe go to a Daytona or even start out a mile and a half track in the Xfinity series for a few races to see how he does there. What we're talking about here is the fact that it is somebody may not, you know, want to extend that commitment to Friesen because of his other commitments outside of NASCAR. And so that may kind of hinder him and his growth, because I don't see any problem with a 35-year-old rookie in the Xfinity series. If the guy can wheel a race car the way Stuart Friesen wheels a race car, he deserves every opportunity. But it makes me wonder if his full-time commitment to dirt and that unrelentless schedule may be keeping him from being offered a ride in the Xfinity series, where, you know, in the truck series, it's Halmar Friesen racing, right? I mean, his name's on the side of that car in ownership, just as Halmar is, and of course they get their trucks from GMS Racing. So, you know, it's not like there's outside influence being put into that machine, where, you know, if given a maybe an Xfinity ride, maybe there would already be a sponsor there to that would pick up the bill for him. So those are all questions that I have. And, you know, I mean, all I want to do is be there to cheer when Stuart Friesen goes to victory lane. We all said on this show we were going to see Alex Bowman win. It's happened. Now we've got to get Friesen into victory lane. There's no second guessing it. There's no way in hell that a driver of that talent doesn't make it to victory lane. I'm not even going to doubt it.
No, and there's going to come a time where he's going to have the Alex Bowman mentality. Excuse me. Where he's tired of finishing second and third. And that he's going to want to etch his name into the NASCAR record books as a NASCAR winner. And I think you're going to see that before the end of the season, provided that, as you just said, Chris, he can stop abusing equipment early in a run. Dale Earnhardt said it best, that you don't win the race on the first lap.
Right.
And I watched a lot of that on Sunday in the Cup Series race. They all knew rain was coming, but they were only 10 laps in. But they were running like there was 10 to go in the first 10 laps. And I kept saying to myself, there's going to be an accident. I went into the bathroom, I come out, and they're under yellow. And I thought, yeah, there was an accident already, because they're all running like a bunch of idiots. Well, no, it was the weather. But I thought for sure that it was because they were running like they were. You can't win the race on the first lap.
The Xfinity race was very eventful, and so was the truck race this past weekend. I mean, so it was a lot of action out on the track, unlike the week before the Snooze Fest of Sonoma.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I'm putting me in a coma, and I'm glad that we got through that. And I'm not bashing the NASCAR. I mean, there's going to be some races that are more enjoyable than others. Unfortunately, there's going to be a race of the season that was the least enjoyable. I think that Sonoma was my least enjoyable race. I'm not spoiling it for other road course races. I'm very confident that we're going to see some great road course racing this week, and I feel like maybe next year Sonoma may be a little bit better. But, you know, coming off a weekend like that with Sonoma, It was an exciting past weekend being at Chicagoland. I think it's going to be even more exciting next weekend, this coming weekend at Daytona. But the trucks are off, so Stewart's got a week off to get everything situated and be ready for Kentucky the week after next. So, it's gotten me excited. Look, we're going to a plate track, guys. We're going to a plate track. And not to change gears, I leave something on the table. Is there any last comments to what we were just saying as we get ready to close?
No, go ahead. I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're coming up into Daytona, guys, and we haven't even talked about that yet. It's kind of the situation where it's on Monday, and, you know, we're so excited about this past weekend and all the action that's happened there. We're going to a restrictor plate race, guys. Anything can happen this weekend.
We're going to a tapered spacer race.
Oh, you got me, Craig Moore. That's probably not as bad as Dale Jr. calling it the Winston Cup Series, but yeah, I'll give it to you. That was pretty bad. So the tapered spacer era has begun, and we're going to Daytona. And this is pack racing, okay? This is what everybody loves, and there's a lot of names in the mix. Of course, Brendan Gaughan, he's going to be in the Cup Series. He's going to be racing in the Cup Series in the 62. Some of the other notables, Garrett Smithley is going to be in the number 15, Reed Sorensen in the 27, McLeod's going to be in the 51, J.J. Yaley's going to make his Cup appearance in the 52 car. Joey Gase, not a name we've seen a lot this year, he's going to be in the 53 car, which is a third Ware Motorsports ride, then the 77 of Justin Haley. And let me tell you something, guys. Justin Haley should be a threat at a restrictor plate race. I don't give a damn what y'all say. That boy, he knows how to race restrictor plate. Parker Kligerman will be in the 96. So we got 40 cars on the entry list in the Cup level. Trucks are off. Anybody's race this weekend, I know it's kind of like, you know, this is where you get the Wheel of Fortune and you pull the wheel, and whatever it stops on should be the driver that you pick. But is there any favorites going into either one of these races this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you who I think, and I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to pick your Xfinity pick that you picked last week. If Jeffrey is running in this weekend's race, I have not seen the entry list yet. I don't think it's been published. I could be wrong.
Yes, it has been published.
It has been. Okay, well, I have not seen it.
I didn't see Earnhardt. I think Earnhardt may be in... Give me a second. Go ahead, Craig. I'm gonna do a fast track on this.
All right, do a fast track check for us. If Jeffrey's in this, he is my dark horse pick. If he is not in this, I'm going to go with Cole Custer.
What about your Cup side, buddy?
My Cup side? Oh, geez, I want to go with Byron because he's hot, but that would be being a bandwagon jumper, and I ain't one of them. So I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that SHR finally gets their head out of their ass, and you're going to see Kevin Harvick wheel that sucker into victory lane.
Yes, Jeffrey Earnhardt will be in the 81 XCI Racing, which is Extremes Concept Incorporated. Xfinity Series Toyota, IK9.com Toyota. So, that's a hell of a sleeper pick. And, with you, I will pick Jeffrey Earnhardt as well to be my favorite to win. If that isn't a long shot, then, of course, Tyler Reddick, he's been the man to beat in the Xfinity Series this year, along with Cole Custer and Christopher Bell. But I believe Tyler Reddick will pick up the win in the Xfinity Series, if Jeffrey Earnhardt isn't the dark horse winner. And on the Cup side, you know, he went with Kevin Harvick, and, you know, hey, that's great. He needs a win. Stewart Haas Racing needs a win, but he's not my guy this weekend. My guy this weekend is going to be your guy from last weekend. We're going to kind of swap wives here. I'm going with William Byron. I'm going with William Byron this weekend. I don't know why. I think the Daytona has put a name for itself, first-time winners. And Chad Knaus being at the top of the pit box, I think that, you know, the only other win that Hendrick has is at Talladega, which is a restrictor plate race. So, you know, why not? I'm going to go out on the limb, and I'm going to pick William Byron 2 weeks in a row to have first-time winners.
Wow. CJ?
Xfinity Series, I'm going to go with Christopher Bell. And Cup Series, I think that he tasted it. He wants it. He was almost there this last weekend. I'm going to go with Kyle Larson.
Not a bad pick at all. A bad pick at all. And this is one of those places where horsepower is not going to be the winning factor. So it's going to be who takes care of their equipment and who doesn't get caught up in the big one, who's still got something left there at the end. And the way that these restrictor plate races have been here lately, tapered spacer races have been here lately, pack racing has been here lately, whatever the hell we're going to call it.
How have the tapered races been lately? Because I thought this was like the first one.
Talladega was the first one. So I expect whoever to win to have a bit right fender. And maybe a little bit of damage is going to be early spin, you know. So there's not very many cars left at the end of these races when we go pack racing, and we probably won't expect there to be much left after this weekend as well. So
all right. So let me ask you one more thing before we get out of here in the next 6 minutes. Let's predict when the big one's going to be.
Oh wow, lap two.
I was going to say between 5 and 10, so I was going to go with, like, lap 8.
Yeah, I'm not giving myself very much.
12,
I mean, at least I only have to sit there for 2 laps before I lost the bet, right? But that's going to be one of those laps
to
leave you alone.
For Christ's sake.
Do what?
It might happen on the pace laps.
Yeah, no doubt it could happen at Daytona, that's for sure. I hope that people laughed as much as we have here tonight, and our 10 listeners that were listening, thank you very much as always. I hope that we were entertaining. One thing about all this is we try to be entertaining. We don't try to be the smartest. We don't try to have, you know, we don't practice Big J journalism around here. We leave that for the other guys. We let them bring us the story so we can talk about it, and that's where it's at Race Chat Live. Of course, this weekend we've got Why Not Motorsports Park. We're having weekly racing along with hopefully the fans will be there. It's been a tough season so far this year at Why Not Motorsports Park, but hopefully things are going to get better for us very quickly. Hattiesburg Speedway, they had damage last week in a bad windstorm that come with the torrential rains and had their concession stands roof blowed off along with the power box uprooted from the ground as well. The roof actually took the power box with it, so they're getting repairs done there. Not sure. I believe they're going to be racing this weekend. Mr. Donald Parker's doing everything that he can to get it back up and going. But you know, when you're working on somebody like the power companies, you have to go on their time. And if they don't have a box out there, then hopefully all that's been situated and already taken care of. But this is only Monday, and they normally race on Friday night, so still plenty of time to get that done. So go support your local racetracks this weekend. I know Daytona is on a Saturday night, and the Xfinity race is on a Friday night, and that's one of those double-edged swords when it's holiday weekend. But you know what, guys? Set your DVR. Do like we do. Turn off your cell phones. Make sure that you don't get any media contact, and sit down and watch your DVR race. I was quite surprised this past weekend. I turned it on to watch the F1 race, and at the end I got to see somebody besides Lewis freaking Hamilton win. Max Verstappen won for the first time this year in a Red Bull Formula One car. So, you know, like I said, just do what you can to go support your local tracks. They need you more than ever. You can always DVR that race from Daytona and watch it in your living room with just, you know, very little commitment to anything other than staying off your phone for a couple of hours. So as for the show here on Monday night, we want to thank you guys for listening and being a part of it. Of course, we'll be back on our normal weekly schedule next week on Thursday night. Everybody enjoy their holiday, the 4th of July holiday. Remember, there's a reason why we celebrate our independence. And maybe some of us Americans need to really look and see what the independence is about, because I feel like every day there's certain parties out there who are trying to infringe on our God-given right. And you know, I mean, be prideful for what you are, no doubt, but don't rain on somebody else's parade because they're prideful of something. And, you know, I think that many times we've had the discussion on this show, and if not, then I'm a, you know, I'll tell it right now. I'm a big fan of the rebel flag. It's a sign of heritage to my family as a son of a Confederate. And, you know, I don't have any issues with anybody else in the flags that they wave around, other than maybe the ISIS flag. I would probably get into an argument or possibly more with somebody with the ISIS flag, but hey, if you're happy, then that's all that matters to me. And I feel like that in itself is being infringed on in this great nation, the United States of America. I'm all for the American flag. I'm all for the American flag. I think most of you guys get my drift. And like I said, it's nothing wrong with being prideful for who you are. And so I tip my hat to all those that are. Just don't get mad at me because I'm prideful of my heritage. So with that being my final words here tonight, do you guys have anything to follow up with that?
Yeah. Wednesday night, Fonda Speedway is going to run a special night. As I said, Mr. Freeze will be in town Wednesday night. Saturday night, Friday night, Albany, Saratoga, over in Malta. And then Saturday night at Glen Ridge Motorsports Park, they are running the 250 lap feature for Sportsman Modified, and it's $2,500 to win.
Woo!
So, yeah, that's a pretty nice payday. So go on out and, like Chris said, go on out and support your local tracks, and you know. If you own a business, well, hell, get behind one and sponsor it. It's a great way to spend your money.
Hey, if anything, buy some tickets and give them out. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, obviously, this is kind of late in the year to buy sponsorship for races. But, you know, if you got that kind of cash floating around, go buy some passes and go pass them out to your local community. But pass them out to people who will go. Don't just waste your money, but, you know, that's the sport can be helped in many ways, and I think all of us act like we're blind on how to really help the sport when all it takes is simple gestures and getting people involved and bringing a friend to the racetrack. These stands can be filled up really quick with the 1% of us that love racing. We can turn it into 2% real quick by just bringing one friend. That's all of us have to do to make it 2% of the population is every single person bring another friend. And we can twice the number than the stands almost immediately. So thank you guys for listening to us. And Mr. CJ Sports, we got any shows this coming week? Tell us about them real quick.
Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Show. Don't forget, intern Mike and Izzo will be joining me as we get caught up on all the latest NBA, NHL, and all the other sports as well. Follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out all the latest at www.110nationsports.com. Saturday, I will be at the Cincinnati Reds Cleveland Indians game. Just hit me up. Let me know you're there. I'd love to have an opportunity to talk to you. Y'all have a safe 4th, happy 4th, and looking forward to being back here next week.
One last note here. I read earlier today that the NBA paid out $3 billion yesterday in contracts, and I can't even get somebody to buy me a hot dog for the radio show. So definitely feeling screwed here. Probably much like the rest of you, if I could just have the 0.99999% of those checks written yesterday, I think that the 110 Nation Sports would I think we'd have probably enough to buy that Learjet we've been talking about for a long time there, Mr. CJ Sports. But one thing about it, I know for sure, we could probably enjoy McDonald's for quite a while on the dollar menu. So all of you have a great 4th of July weekend. Stay out of trouble. Do not drink and drive. And when I say do not drink and drive, guys, do not drink and drive. And find a designated driver. But y'all have fun and enjoy the fireworks and all the race festivities. We'll be back next Thursday night. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.